Well, I guess like any of us, I come to you in weakness and in trembling, nervous, afraid, not so much of speaking publicly, but to presume to speak in the name of the Lord. And I just want it to be Him. Just want it to be Him. And I'd like for us to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is a place that Pastor Lee dwelt in, chapters 17, 18, and 19, over the last several weeks when he was talking to us about we need the word of the Lord. We need the word of the Lord. If we're to walk as supernatural people, and are we supernatural people, or are we just natural people? I mean, we say we're supernatural people, but are we really? Are we really supernatural people? Then to walk as supernatural people, we need the word of the Lord. And that's what Elijah had. When he had the word of the Lord, that's when he said, "It's not going to rain or dew until I say." Elijah himself couldn't do that. He couldn't walk up, you know, walk outside and say, "Louisiana, it's not going to rain or dew until I say it," unless it's the word of the Lord. Well, here we are in chapter 19. He has had that big confrontation with the prophets of Baal and had that amazing miracle come to pass, and then he brought those prophets of Baal down to the river and he killed them all, 450. Says he slew them there. Tremendous victory. Then he goes with his servant. He sits down. He looks at the sky. He says, "Go look at the sky and see if there is a cloud, because I hear the sound of rain coming." It's nothing to be seen, but he heard it. It was the word of the Lord. And after all that, he had to flee. Jezebel sent messengers to go take his life. And in verse 4, it says, "But he himself," Elijah himself, "went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's.'" Elijah was depressed. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. He was depressed. And as he lay, he slept. I think depressed people often just sleep and sleep. I do. I believe he was depressed. Then an angel touched him, verse 5, and said unto him, "Arise and eat." In this message, I'd like to entitle, "Arise and eat." Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time, touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And the journey was too great for him. It says that he went 40 days in that nourishment that he received. That was something supernatural. In the nourishment that he ate, he drank, and that gave him nourishment for a journey that was too difficult for him. The journey is too difficult for us. And I like to say, you know, in this congregation, I would say the majority of us are you know, approaching my age class or thereabouts, or a good number of us are. And it's easy to think, you know, well, I guess my best days are behind me. You know, what good am I in the kingdom now? I mean, my prime days are gone. I don't have the strength that I used to have. I don't have the endurance that I used to have. Yeah, the journey is too great. It is too great for us. But he said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he went in that meet 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I think every young person growing up, they have dreams, aspirations. They have kind of an idealized idea of what life is going to be for them. You know, a life full of accomplishment, a life full of love. You know, it's like Snow White or Cinderella. You know, there's these longings of the heart, these dreams, these aspirations. She's saying, someday my prince will come. Well, our prince has come, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. You know, Cinderella, in her miserable circumstance, could still hope for a day that her fondest imaginations would come to pass. But, you know, those are fairy tales. See, for ordinary people like us, and I would call us ordinary people, until Christ comes, lives within us, early dreams that we had of a life full of significance, of love and of meaning, of accomplishment, those dreams find bitterness. They find disappointment. All of us. I think all of us have been there. I know I have frequently heard my inner voice saying, yeah, right, Evan. Look at you now. Look at you now. You know, what did you think you were going to do? Look at you now. And it's a voice I have battled. I wonder, do you battle a similar voice? You know, that criticizes you for what you coulda, woulda, and shoulda done. You know, what you could have been, what you should have been, what you might have been. I know I fell far short of the dreams that I had as a young person. You know, what happened to all those empty wishes? And so such disappointment will settle on the heart, kind of like a wet blanket. It'll smother, it'll choke. It'll choke out the move of the Spirit of God in your life. And it squeezes the life out of your Christian testimony. Because Christians in the Spirit reflect the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know, there's no legalism that can bring forth those things. It's the Spirit of God that brings them forth. In Job chapter 21, this is another place that Pastor Lee has had us in recent Sundays. Job chapter 21. And in verse 23, pardon me, it says, one dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk. His bones are moistened with marrow. Another dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and worms shall cover them. And this is a common theme in Job. That death is kind of the great equalizer between people. It's, if the Lord tarries, it's something that all of us will face. And whether rich or poor, whether bitter or happy, whatever your circumstance, it's something that we will all face unless the Lord tarries. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. I mean, my soul is weary of my life, he says. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And yet, in none of these things, the Bible declares, did Job sin with his mouth. And he declared that he had bitterness of soul. Well, yes, he did. He lost his children, everything else that he had. How could he not have bitterness of soul? Job was depressed. He was disappointed. He had bitterness. And he was stuck in inaction. I think that's what happens when we succumb to depression, to that bitterness, that disappointment. We succumb to inaction. We get stuck. And we don't move forward after that. We have a tendency, I think, to build a picture of how we think things ought to be or things should be. Little things, big things. Maybe something that you go to buy. When you get married, you build a picture. This is how it's going to be. And you find that it isn't that way. You find that there are bumps in the road. There are speed bumps. There's conflict. There are things to be worked out. And so do you get derailed and fall into disappointment and depression and bitterness? You know, it's part of the human condition to be disappointed. And the question is not whether we have disappointments, but it's on how we handle them. I'm reminded of Elijah's bitterness, you know, in the wake of Israel's unbelief. He was so discouraged that he wanted to die, right? So like Elijah, we must eat good, nourishing food to be strengthened for the journey that lies ahead. You know, very few of the great men of the Bible finished well. It's very sobering. It's few that finished well. And I think it's worth considering that is the case. We must eat good, nourishing food for the journey that lies ahead. And it can only be supernatural food. There's so much junk food that we're assaulted with. It's on TV. It's on the internet. How can we hear God? How can we have His word to walk in the supernatural when that stuff is coming, just, it's blasting us. It's filling our heads. Be still and know that I am God, the Bible says. I think that's, in our culture, is more difficult than it has been in the past. Be still and know that I am God. You know, His voice is not heard in the whirlwind, you know, or the earthquake. It turned out it was the still small voice. And if you are indwelt by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is able to communicate with you. Will you hear Him? Will you just leave a little space for Him to get a word in edgewise? That's my prayer for myself. If we want to walk on our journey faithfully to the end, we must be strengthened by the Lord. It's too difficult. The journey is indeed too difficult for us to complete successfully in our own strength. Jeremiah said, and this is Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You know, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, Jesus said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, we have a Bible reading program that I know some of you have been participating in through the year to read the whole Bible for the year. And, you know, if you've fallen behind or if you haven't picked it up, now is a good time. You don't have to wait for the next year to roll around. You can pick it up and start reading. And reading it prayerfully, asking the Lord to speak into your heart. And you'll begin to hear His voice. Because He will bring things to you. It's like, wow, did it really say that? You know? And He's speaking into your heart. You want to know His voice. There it is. God is not asking us to get strong. Or to act as if we are strong. You know, we need the ministry of God's word daily in our lives if we're going to go all the way to the finish line. God is calling us not to act one way or act another. I believe He's calling us to be genuine and real. I hate put on in our Christian walk. I hate fakery. I hate that. If we will nourish ourselves in Him, we will experience the joy of laboring in His strength. And the fruit will just, it'll bubble out of us. Don't you want that? And you know, we don't have to act like we're strong enough for the task because we know He is strong enough for the task. And there is a task left for all of us, every single one of us. You know, in some of the very deep disappointments that I've experienced, yeah, I got mad, among other things. I have a lot of emotions, but one of the things, I got mad. And my reaction was, I will not let Satan steal from me what God has for me to do. I want my days and my moments to count for Him, to count for something, not to just emptily go by, not to just let one day follow another, follow another, follow another. I want it to count. Don't you? None of us are past that. None of us are beyond that. We all have a call of God on our life. Yeah. Amen. And where did Job find the strength to live through his pain and bitterness? A pain and a level of bitterness seems to exceed anybody in the Bible, as far as I can tell. In Job 19, very well known, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." That's how he got through. "And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." See, Job had a revelation of God's, a future in God's presence. He saw the literal fulfillment of those, I'll call them those adolescent yearnings for something noble, something perfect, something beautiful. The ultimate fulfillment of that is seeing Him face to face, to standing before Him in the future, to being with the Prince of Peace on the earth. We will be with Him here. And this hope gave Job courage to go on and to continue seeking God, to never to speak wrongly. You know, he always, in all of the things that he spoke, even when he was pouring out his bitterness of soul, it says that he never sinned with his lips. It was that hope that he had. And we too need a living hope if we're not to be overcome with disappointments. You know, how many unmet expectations have you had? How many times have we been discouraged with ourselves for not living up to the standard that God has given us? And it's a standard of the heart. You know, Jesus always dealt with the condition of the heart. You know, the law dealt with the actions. You know, do not commit adultery, for instance. Jesus said, you don't do it in your heart. He always took it to the heart. The only heart that can do that is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus living through us. And our living hope is that we will be with Him. Mm. You know, even Paul was frustrated and experienced disappointment. Look at Romans chapter 7. Verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Can any of us say that? "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Or some translations say, "from this dead body." And I've been told that one method of torture, I guess, that the Romans would occasionally inflict on an enemy when they overcame them is they would tie the living to a dead body. And then as that body began to decay and the bugs and everything and the creatures that came to eat on it, you became consumed in the process. You became rotten in the process. Who is going to deliver me from this dead body, this body of flesh that's stuck here? It's on me. It's tied to me. And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then with the mind of the Spirit, "I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know, indeed, until the time that the Lord comes to make all things new, we're going to be dealing with this. This is what our life will look like. It is not going to be one perfection after another. Perfection's in Him. There is still going to be that dead body of flesh tied to us, that mind of the flesh. And yet we have a perfect Savior. We have that heart of Jesus that's in us that can be allowed to come out. You know, nothing's going to be quite right until He comes. And that's why I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. All things will remain out of balance. They'll remain out of kilter until then. In Romans chapter 8, I love this passage here, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. You know, it sort of personifies the heavens and the earth here. And they're groaning, they're travailing in pain, they're all out of kilter, they're all out of whack because of the fall, because of the fall of Satan and the fall of man. And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body, which happens when we see Jesus. So until then, we groan as well. And it's okay. It's okay. Job poured out his disappointment. He poured out his complaint. And we groan within ourselves because we're tied to this dead body of flesh. It's no reason to be swallowed up with disappointment, to be swallowed up with bitterness, to be swallowed up with depression. Amen. So, there's no hope of life being the way we might have pictured it in our fairest dreams. Jesus promised us that while we are in the world, we're going to have trouble. And, you know, if that is as far as our faith takes us, then we're most miserable. If in this life we only have hope, we are of all men most miserable. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right? If in this life only we have hope, in this life we will always have trouble. If that's as far as your faith takes you, then you're going to be, you're going to fall into depression. It's like you're of all men most miserable. Miserable. But like Job, we have hope of greater things. A revelation of the future that exceeds our imaginations. Whatever our fondest dreams were, whatever our fairest ideas, our noblest, our highest ideals that we might have had that have been crushed over the years, those don't come close. What is to come is beyond our imagination. 1 Corinthians 2. And in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. It's beautiful. In Psalm 42:5, I'll just read it to you. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why are you all worked up? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in Him. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. That's Psalm 42:5, if you want to refer to it. And in Isaiah 65:18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. That's what life eternal has to hold for us. It's a living hope that swallows up all disappointment, all bitterness, all loss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Instead of being disturbed or being disillusioned or distressed in our hearts, we have cause for joy and rejoicing. Even in the midst of trouble, we do. Just like Job said, for I know I shall see my Redeemer. You know, right here on the earth. And we might groan and travail over the state of affairs here on the earth, particularly now, right? It's an evil world. But in another part of our heart, we look to the future with the brightest hope. And I think we can hold both things. Satan desires us to give up. That's what he wants from us, is to give up, to do an Elijah and lay down and say, I can't take it anymore. Take my life, Lord. I don't want to live anymore. But he has food to feed us with. We need that nourishment of the Word of God. We need his Word to nourish us so that we can go in his strength. I mean, without that, you're empty. You don't have that resource. It's like spiritually you're hungry, starving, getting weaker, weaker. We need that constant input. Just remember all of those great heroes of Hebrews 11, many of whom, it says there are just many others, who are unnamed. I pray to God that I can be, that you can be one of those unnamed heroes. I see heroes here, I do. I admire you so much. They were severely tested, but they proved themselves faithful to the end. I pray to God that we can all finish well, that regardless of what comes up before us, that we can go to the end in Christ. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's Revelation 2:10. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away, something to lay at his feet when we appear before him in the throne. That's 1 Peter 5:4. And remember, the journey is too great for you. It's too great. What he has for you to do is beyond what you can do. Be nourished in him. You need to arise and eat. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. I'd like to pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and speaking to us in your word. For filling us, Lord, with the fruits of righteousness, with the fruit of the Spirit, but building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and causing your love to bubble through us, out to one another, out to those in need, out to broken people, out to the lost, out to the suffering. Just ask, Lord, that your hand of healing will be on the suffering hearts and the suffering bodies that are here today. Pray for loved ones, Lord, lost loved ones, hurting loved ones. Fill our hearts with the joy of your salvation, Lord, with the hope of your return. I just pray, Lord, that it can live in our hearts so much that your fruit just abounds in our lives.